In the heart of Hollywood, Harvey Weinstein built an empire on talent, intimidation, and silence. As co-founder of Miramax and the Weinstein Company, he transformed independent cinema with Oscar-winning hits like Pulp Fiction and Shakespeare in Love. Meryl Streep once jokingly called him God. But behind the veneer of creative genius lurked a predator whose behavior followed a chilling pattern, arranging business meetings with aspiring actresses that mysteriously relocated to hotel rooms where he would appear in a bathrobe, demand massages, expose himself, or force himself upon women. What's most disturbing isn't just Weinstein's actions, but how they remained an open secret for decades. There was money available in the event that there was an indiscretion that needed to be taken care of, explained Dennis Rice, Weinstein's former marketing president. Producer Elizabeth Nickerson was more blunt. This was ongoing predatorial behavior towards women. Whether they consented or not, everybody knew. Imagine working in an industry where your dream job comes with an unspoken caveat. You might have to endure assault by one of the most powerful men in entertainment. For decades, women navigated this reality while Weinstein maintained elite status, serving as a key Clinton fundraiser during the 2016 election, even as he secretly hired former Mossad agents to silence those who might expose him. Powerful predators maintain their position through catch and kill, a system for burying damaging stories before publication. American Media Inc., AMI, parent company of the National Enquirer, was central to this operation. Led by CEO David Pecker and editor Dylan Howard, they purchased exclusive rights to damaging stories about powerful allies like Weinstein and Donald Trump, then buried them. When Weinstein faced allegations, Howard gathered dirt on accusers like Ashley Judd and Rose McGowan. The system extended beyond Weinstein. Former Playboy playmate Karen McDougal received $82,500 to sign away her story about an affair with Trump, while AMI managed her responses to journalists. The true horror lies in how it corrupts journalism, transforming truth's guardians into accomplices who trade accountability for access and influence while victim stories vanish behind contracts and threats. When threatened, Weinstein deployed a private intelligence network led by Black Cube, an Israeli agency staffed by ex-intelligence operatives. Their Tel Aviv headquarters operated with intense security, unmarked black doors, fingerprint readers, and mandatory polygraph tests for all staff. Black Cube's agents used false identities to target Weinstein's accusers. Most notably, agent Stella Penn Pechanak posed as Diana Philip, a women's rights advocate, befriending Rose McGowan to gather intelligence about her memoir and plans to speak out. McGowan later described the deception. "It was like the movie Gaslight. Everyone lied to me all the time. I've lived inside a mirrored funhouse." Contract showed Black Cube promised Weinstein a team of intelligence officers, including avatar operators creating fake identities and experts in social engineering. They even hired an investigative journalist for $40,000 to report directly to Weinstein. These women, already traumatized by assault, now faced professional operatives infiltrating their lives and manipulating their trust, making it nearly impossible to speak their truth. Despite sophisticated intimidation tactics, women eventually spoke about Weinstein's predatory behavior spanning decades. Rose McGowan reported her 1997 assault in a Sundance hotel suite. After hiring a criminal attorney, she accepted a $100,000 settlement and faced professional blacklisting. In 2015, Ambra Batilana Gutierrez reported Weinstein for groping her. She wore a wire to their next meeting, capturing his confession, but Manhattan DA's office declined to prosecute. She later signed an NDA requiring destruction of evidence. Annabella Sciorra revealed Weinstein raped her after forcing his way into her apartment. Ashamed into silence, she grew depressed and didn't work for 3 years. Lucia Evans was sexually assaulted during what she thought was a casting meeting. "That's why he's been able to do this for so long," she said. "People give up, and then they feel like it's their fault. These stories exposed victims' impossible choice: speak up and risk their careers, or stay silent and carry the burden alone. As Ronan Farrow pursued the Weinstein story at NBC News, he gathered substantial evidence, including the Gutierrez recording, multiple on-camera interviews with accusers, and corroborating testimony, yet faced mounting resistance from network executives. NBC News president Noah Oppenheim dismissed the investigation, questioning Weinstein's newsworthiness and dismissively remarking, "I don't know what that proves," after hearing the Gutierrez tape of Weinstein admitting to groping. When Farrow persisted, he and producer Rich McHugh were ordered to pause all reporting. Oppenheim claimed Farrow had a conflict of interest due to Weinstein's ties to Woody Allen and Farrow's previous writing about Hollywood sexual assault. Weinstein contacted NBC executives directly, later telling his legal team that executives promised not to run the story. Unknown to Farrow, NBC's own history of harassment settlements, particularly involving Matt Lauer, made the network vulnerable to Weinstein's pressure while accepting his argument about similar agreements being unreportable. After NBC's rejection, Farrow took his reporting to The New Yorker, where editor David Remnick promised full legal support against Weinstein's threats. "We're an ocean liner, not a speedboat," Remnick assured him. On October 10, 2017, 5 days after The New York Times' initial Weinstein expose, The New Yorker published Farrow's investigation. The story featured 13 women's accounts of Weinstein's sexual misconduct, including 3 rape allegations and the Gutierrez audio recording. The impact was immediate. NBC executives who had killed the story now sought Farrow's appearances. When Rachel Maddow questioned his choice of The New Yorker, Farrow diplomatically noted that many news organizations have circled this story and faced a great deal of pressure. The Times and New Yorker investigations sparked the hashtag MeToo movement, inspiring thousands of women to share their stories. Weinstein faced swift consequences, losing his company, academy membership, and ultimately facing criminal charges. Sometimes truth needs just one crack in the wall of silence to finally break through. The Weinstein investigation exposed a vast system protecting powerful predators through NDAs, surveillance, and media companies suppressing credible allegations. The system cracked when women spoke despite enormous risks. As McGowan declared, "I've been silenced for 20 years. I've been slut-shamed, harassed, maligned, and you know what? I'm just like you." The impact rippled beyond Hollywood as powerful men faced consequences for misconduct. Me Too, coined by Tarana Burke, became a global movement of shared stories. For Farrow, the investigation offered redemption after failing to support his sister Dylan's accusations against Woody Allen. Dylan advised, "This is the worst part, the waiting. But once you put your voice out there, it gets easier. If you get this, don't let it go." In a world where power builds fortresses of silence, speaking truth remains our most radical act. Catch and Kill shows what happens when truth overcomes power.